Greetings, brethren. To all the brethren here, to those tuned in via webcast and call-in services, I would just like to say hello and a warm greetings. And in the words of our beloved brother Paul, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Today's title is called A Call to Assemble. A Call to Assemble. In order to understand the meaning behind the Feast of the Memorial of the Blowing of Trumpets, we should examine the meaning and symbolism of how the blowing of trumpets was used in the Bible. The blowing of trumpets in the Bible are used as signals of important events, and the Bible gives us vivid descriptions of earth-shaking end-time events, such as the Day of the Lord, a time of God's wrath, the glorious return of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of the first fruits. By observing the manner in which trumpets was used, we can begin to put some pieces of this puzzle together. The sounding of trumpets serves several purposes, but the one I want to focus in on involves the call to assemble. And I'll be reading from the King James Version for this first scripture. That's Numbers 10, Chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, Numbers 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. Now, is there a spiritual connection here? Do we see a foreshadowing of a future event? And if so, how does this relate to the first fruits, to the dead in Christ, and those who are still alive at his coming? Those who have God's Holy Spirit. Well, if we turn over to 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, Paul gives us details about a future event that will take place at the return of Christ. That's 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, we'll begin at verses 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will what? Rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Brethren, just as ancient Israel were called to assemble at the blowing of the trumpet, so there will also be another trumpet that will be sounded. And we shall be called to be assembled to meet our Lord and Savior in the air. This trumpet is referred to as the last trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. This trumpet blast will have a unique sound for unique people. And by unique, I mean those who died in faith, those who never received the promises, but saw them from afar off and were persuaded by them and embraced them, confessing that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. And those who are converted, having God's Holy Spirit at this time. Not everyone will be called to assemble, brethren. Not everyone will hear the sound of the specific trumpet. For there will be some whose graves will not open, but those of the first fruits will be unlocked at this time. And we alone, with those who are still alive, will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortal, a total transfiguration from this old, worn-out body to a new, glorious body, while many others will continue to sleep in the dust of the earth for yet a little while. The scriptures tell us the death will be swallowed up in victory. It will be swallowed up in victory. How on earth do you suppose that we can gain victory over death? Well, I tell you, Jesus Christ will have to step in and make alive that which is dead. I really want you to think about this. Is the resurrection real to you? Is it really real to you? Do you really believe and have this hope within you? Do you believe the testimony of Matthew, Stephen, Mary Magdalene, and the account of so many others written in Scripture? Forgive me if I get a little emotional, but you see, I had an earthly father who died of prostate cancer, and a younger brother who died on impact in a car wreck at the age of 22. And so my heart aches to see them again, with an earnest expectation of seeing God's children bear the image of our soon coming King. I truly believe I will see them at this time of the first resurrection. This unique blast that will thunder from heaven. Then our graves will be open, and we will begin to rise up along with those who are still alive, changed in the moment of a twinkling of eye at the last trump. As we continue to ascend from the ground, everything will become smaller as we increase in distance and soar in heights. And the Lord will send his angels to gather his elect for the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. We will assemble and meet Jesus Christ in Jerusalem as he makes his return to the Mount of Olives, where his feet shall stand, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley. Oh, what a day, brethren. The mysteries of God will be revealed in us. If you would, brethren, please turn over to Romans, the 8th chapter. We'll begin at verse 18. That's Romans, the 8th chapter, and verses 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation, the creature, was subjected to futility. It was made and subject to vanity and moral depravity, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope. It was subjected in hope, brother, because the creation itself also will be delivered, set free from bondage of corruption, and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Brethren, this is why we are here. This is part of the reason why we are here to celebrate on this day. At the last trumpet, we will be delivered once all from a body composed of flesh and blood, delivered from our own carnal nature and behavior. Question. Do you remember when Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father"? And it is sufficient. Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." And Jesus replied, "He who has seen the Father, he who has seen me has seen the Father." Now, this is just pure speculation and curiosity, passing in thought. But just do you suppose if someone were to say to us at this time, during this time, "Show us Jesus Christ, and it is sufficient for us," do you think we would be able to reply, "He who has seen me has seen Jesus"? Not in authority or in power, but considering we will be like him, I mean in that sense of perfection, displaying the character of God in totality. I'll leave that up to you to ponder. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew. This is talking about you and I, brethren. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he all called. Whom he called, these he justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Brethren, the plan and the purpose of God revolves around bringing many sons to glory. I don't think we can fully grasp what it means to be subject, not be subject to time, or what it means to enter into eternity and be a part of the family of God. The scriptures tell us that eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him, those who love him. Brethren, I would like to encourage you not to give up. Don't lose heart. Stay faithful. And if you feel like giving up, remember, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise, when the assembly of the first fruits takes place, God promises to give each and every one of us a new name. And I repeat, no longer will Mr. Walker be able to call me Steve Urkel. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever name God gives me. For my last scripture today, brethren, please turn over to Leviticus 23, verse 23 and 24. That's Leviticus 23, 23 and 24. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. This word trumpets, H-86-43 in Hebrew, is teruah. And according to the Brown Driver Briggs, it means an alarm, a battle cry, a blast of war, or a shout of joy. I find it interesting that the teruah, the trumpet, used in this verse of scripture is connected to a shout of joy. Brother, when that last trumpet is sounded and we are called to assemble to meet the Lord in the air, do you think we will be able to keep our mouth closed? Or do you think there will be shouts of joy? Perhaps sounding like an extension of that last trumpet. Once again, I leave that up to you to ponder. In conclusion, brethren, God wants all of us to live our lives in a conscious expectation of the return of Jesus Christ. He wants all us, he would like us to live our life as Jesus Christ will return in our lifetime. At the return of Christ, there will be no need to send one another sympathy cards or give our condolences, go pick out a casket, mourning over the death of our loved ones. Card companies like Hallmark and American Greetings will be obsolete. There will be no need to send flowers or pick out caskets anymore, for God will wipe away all our tears.